This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As you can see this morning, I'm dressed very chillaxed. Because this morning is a bit of a more chillaxed word. Who's been really enjoying the sermon series? Can I see hands up? Three of you, thank you. I'm joking. There we go. 4, 5, 50. Those guys in bed, it's like with their coffee, and they're like, do I put up my... No, I'm not putting up my hand, I have my coffee. And this has been a great sermon series so far. We are on chapter 6. And today is an incredible word. Is everyone that is in the house on par? You've watched 90% of these sermons. You're on par with us. If you're new and you've not watched a single sermon, this is a sermon series, part 6. And if you're going to start now, it's too late. I'm joking. It's never too late. Please go and listen to the teachings. I know the last one took a while to get on. We apologize for that. Chapter 5 is on, though, so please catch up on that one. That's probably one of the best ones for where most of us find ourselves. And chapter 6 is a good chapter. It's a chapter of real hope, and I'm really hoping it's one of those things I'm excited about. It's called the prophetic test. All right, so I'm obviously amped about the prophetic and very excited about the prophetic words. And I just want to once again mention that God has a dream for every one of us. There's a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And even though you have not received a dream, even though you have not received a word for your life, there is a plan. And we're going to go through that this morning. We're going to actually work through that. So, just want to say that some word God speaks is unconditional. All right? Some of the words that God speaks is unconditional. No matter what, Jesus is coming back. All right? An unconditional word. Some words are conditional. And everyone's going, huh? Okay. What is Uncle Angus's favorite scripture? Anyone? That is not a scripture. All right. For those of you that don't know Uncle Angus, let me just put some things in perspective. Uncle Angus is a John the Baptist. He's called from outside the church to come into the church and bring a prophetic word as John the Baptist done and did. And the word that he does is out of Chronicles. If or call by my name, humble themselves, repent, then I will. Conditional. If, then. Conditional word. So sometimes when God speaks, it's unconditional. Sometimes when God speaks, it's conditional. And there will always be an if and a then. All right. Let me run through those tests. We did the pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test. This is the prophetic test. And we're going to take this entire sermon. For those of you that have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 105. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph in the Psalms. Then he, being God, summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread. He had sent a man, listen, who sent the famine? He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with feathers. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Now, when we look at the story of Joseph, when we see he went to prison, we have this idyllic 5-star prison idea where he's sitting in a room because he's got the warden, the favor of the warden, right? So he's sitting watching Netflix 95% of the time, and the other 5% is DSTV. He's sitting at home, drinking coffee on a cold day, watching the sermon happen. That is not what Scripture says. All right, so when you think you're going through a terrible time, I want to say that Joseph went through a harder time. His prison was real. And look at what verse 19 says. Until what he had said, he being God, came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. You can read the rest. The New King James Version says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. I prefer the ESV here because it says it a little bit more that we can understand, because the word we're looking at there is the word of God and the word of God. These are two different words. The second part, the word of the Lord tested him, is used 37 times in the Old Testament. It speaks about the word of God, the scripture, the Torah, the written word of God. So let me put this in layman's terms. Until the prophetic word came to pass, the literal word tested him. Are you with me this morning? If then, until the prophetic word came to pass, the literal word tested him. Why have so many of us not started walking in the promises of God for our lives? I've just answered it. Psalm 119, I've stored up your word in my heart, the word of God, that I might not sin against you. You see, the word of God tests your character. The word of God tests our character. Romans 6. Why is Paul writing to the Romans and saying, "Oaks, stop sinning. You don't want grace to abound that way. We want to move out of sin." The reason we want to move out of sin, listen very carefully. I've said this 1,000 times. Number 1,001. You are saved by grace. Nothing you can do can take that away. Nothing takes away the grace. Nothing you add or subtract takes away from the grace of God. But if you want the promises of God on your life, then you want to have this in your life. That's why Paul says, let's not carry on sinning, guys. Because there's a race we're running, there's a promise on our lives, and as soon as we start passing the character tests, we can go into the promised land. We see as Israel totally missed the promised land. Because every time there's a promise, can I throw in a nugget? Who wants a nugget? Golden nugget. This is good. I was listening. My wife is more spiritual than I am. Matthew's way more spiritual than I am. And she loves putting on sermons for us on the weekend. And it keeps us sane. You got this kid running around in the sermon in the background. So you can't sin, you know, when you're a little kid. And one of these guys that just seems to be always on, and one of my favorite guys, is Pastor T.D. Jakes, and he says something incredible about Moses. Why did Moses miss the promised land? Why was God so hard on Moses? I'm going to give you the answer. This is a nugget. You see, Moses was a Christ-like figure. So when he smacked the rock twice, Christ is what? Our rock. He needed to speak to the rock because Christ was only crucified once. Because he struck twice, Christ was only struck once. He stopped the narrative of Christ, our rock, that's only punished once for our sins. Isn't that beautiful? Man, tell you, listen, you might not like Uncle TD, but listen to him. He's going to rock your boat. We miss what God has for us, just like Moses missed it. Because there's a narrative that God's walking with us. This is not a suggestion. I know most of your Bibles are really, really thick, and you think, oh my word, what's that, Hoffa Bible? It's very small written. I wanted to bring the family Bible, you know, that one, Afrikaanse family Bible, but I wouldn't be able to carry it. All right, so we've been speaking about actions and we've been speaking about parts and keys and formulas. You know, the practical side of every sermon that we've been giving, that I've been preaching, I've been giving as much practical as possible. So we're going to work through three parts on the practical side of the prophetic. All right? Now remember, Joseph had a word. There was a word that God gave Joseph. There was a promise, and he had to wait and be tested by God. So, what do you do with the word of God? First of all, submit your word to the word. Submit your word to the word. To the word of God. The only way you can submit your word to the word of God is if you know the word of God. If your word does not line up with the word, you need to adjust your word. If your word does not submit to the word, you need to adjust your word, not the other way around. I've been around the charismatic movement long enough to have heard some crazy prophetic words. The Lord told me to divorce my wife. Let me help you, brother. The word... above your word. That is not a word of the Lord. We submit our words under the word. Now I know what you're all thinking, we'll get there. Right? The Lord does not say, Bernie, go put on pink socks. Pink socks. Amos, pink socks. Zephaniah, never heard of you, pink socks. Matthew, I heard of you, pink socks. All right, we'll get there. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. The word you get will never be complete. The prophetic word, that dream, that vision, that idea that God's given you, that image, will never be the full word. All right? You do not know everything. Only God does. You are fallible. God is infallible. You're not infallible. A prophetic word is only a piece of the puzzle. There will always be in the prophetic an if and a then. You know, you ask, what's so bad? What's so bad if we're moving together? What's so bad if I dodge the tax? What's so bad if I don't submit to authority, aka government? What's so bad if I and put that sin that you know so well in there? Nothing if you're not serious about where God's taking you. When I did internship in Shofar, Pastor Sias called me one day. It was one of those random moments. He looked at me and said, Bernie, the Lord has you on the shortest leash I've ever seen. Are you with me? I mean, you get guys that will be wheeling on their motorbikes down the streets and nothing will happen. Man, I just go from third to fourth too fast and the cops are on me. Right? My leash is really short. You notice how everyone in your company gets away with murder until you do it? Has anyone had that? You ever had that when someone comes in an hour late and they high five him, you come in 5 minutes late and people looking at their watch? If you want your destiny, we need to get in the Word. Put it like this. You know those cool cats, ladies? Those cool cats. Think back when you were still single. And the guy thought he walked. He was wearing Nike Airs because he just was always walking in Air. You know that? They're like, hey, man. You know those cool guys? When you get to know them, they're just, ugh. Nah, are you with me? That girl is going to drop that guy like a hot potato. You always see in the movies, the guy carries on about how amazing he is and how great his day was at work and blah, 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 blah. And she's just gone, all right? So same with the Lord. If we're not going to stick in the Word of God, we can't expect Him to be partnering with us because we're not partnering with Him. He can't trust us then. Part 2, test your word. So some people say, how dare you? I'll ask you, how dare you not? Listen to what Scripture says. Do not quench the Spirit. Right? Have you ever been around those very, very charismatic people? Right? Their calendar works as God sends me. And they'll tell you, do not quench the Spirit. You need them to fulfill or to read further. Then they'll tell you, do not despise prophecies. You know those guys that walk around and everywhere they go, they got prophecies. But test everything. Can I say something here? One of the biggest sins that I've seen in the charismatic movement is that we test nothing. Someone will off and we'll test nothing. Someone will roll around and we'll test nothing. Someone will have a prophetic word and we'll test nothing. We just don't go there. How dare I judge, right? I don't want to go there. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from what is evil. Test everything. If there's one thing I pray that you'll learn from me is test everything. If you only learn that, I will be thankful. Test everything. When a pastor preaches, test everything. Don't just gobble it up. Test everything. I had a guy that came and prophesied over me when I was in Cape Town. He had this word for me, and he started. Prophecy is one of those things. We had a evening where Ross asked that we, for his grow group, we prophesy over people. And I was talking to my grow group the night before, and I said, guys, I am absolutely petrified to go and prophesy. Let me tell you why. Because I know there's such a responsibility with prophecy. Because I know if it comes from a pastor, if it comes from someone up here, most people will probably just receive it and never test it. From my side, there comes a great fear when it comes to prophecies, because things that's been prophesied today is scary. I have the fear of God in my life, and my fear is that I miss Him. And so I'm able to humble myself and really seek. And God was, for some of you, it was really blessed. And there's some amazing words that really blessed people and really spoken to their lives. I'm so thankful for that. But I recognize with prophecy that it can ruin people's lives just as much as it can make their lives. I was in Cape Town and this guy comes to prophesy over me, and I was kind. I just go, he says, I really want to pray for you. Guy comes to speak to me and then he wants to prophesy over me, and I'll go, okay, pray for me. And scripture says, be slow to lay hands. I don't let people just lay hands on me. If you don't have a relationship with me, Lord, hint one. If you don't have a relationship with a person, don't let them just lay hands on you. Okay? It's the reason why scripture says, be slow to lay hands. And so this guy's praying, and immediately he does the AKA never ever pray this. God has something bigger for you. So I've been doing little for God, and I'm going to do big for God. And he prayed and basically said that I was wasting my time in Shofar Cape Town, and that God has got something bigger and better. In other words, God doesn't care about my Cape Town congregation because he's got bigger and better. And as this guy's praying, I'm just getting more and more angry. Little secret, little nugget. Pastor Sias went to those outreaches of Reinhard Bonnke. And those massive crusades, millions of people, you know, you've seen them. And he's with Reinhard Bonnke's entourage, and they go, and they takes you about an hour, 2 hours just to get to the platform. And Reinhard Bonnke preaches like only Reinhard Bonnke can preach. Amazing, and everyone gets saved, and takes 2 hours to get home again. And they walk into the hotel, and he's walking behind the entourage, and he's watching Pastor Bonnke. And Reinhard stops, and he sees a gentleman sitting alone there in the reception area, just working on a businessman, just working on his laptop. Uncle Reinhard walks to that one man and gives him the same sermon he's just given to millions. Because Reinhard Bonnke understands there's no difference between one and a million. There's no bigger, there's no smaller. Be careful when prophetic words speak to the idols of your heart. And it's more flattery than it's anything else. Abstain from every form of evil. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh up what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. If someone's standing up and talking nonsense, and the prophet stands up and says, sit, then sit. We don't like that. We don't like it when people judge and test. Judge all prophecy. Now, first of all, remember, we see in part. Sometimes the water that comes out the tap, right, is always clean. Sometimes in South Africa. But let's just think it's all clean. But your hose pipe might have picked up a little bit of gravel along the road. So the person bringing the word might bring also a little bit of their own flavor. You understand? Be careful of that. That's why we must test. I had a person that I was working with that was on staff with me at one stage, and they came from another church, and someone in that church prophesied over them that they are a prophet. And no matter how much I tried to explain to this person that they were not a prophet, they were not received because someone had prayed that they're a prophet. The problem is there was no fruit of anything in even in remotely in being a prophet. Nothing. But because someone in a church prayed that they're a prophet. They decided they're a prophet. Are you with me this morning? That's why we have each other in our lives. We submit our words to one another. If I have a word, I go to Dale. Dale, I have this word. Will you pray with me? Does this minister to you? All of you saw the video of me and Matty where we said we're taking sabbatical, right? The one where I spoke and Matty just sat. It's one of those things that Matty like looked at me just before Nicole recorded. And, what am I going to say? I'm like, I'm going to say something. She says, I'm not going to say anything. Just sit there, smiled. Wonderful. Thanks, love. Sometimes you need your wife to talk on your behalf, and that was that time, and she was just not going to go there. I sent that video to my band of brothers in Cape Town, the guys that I've spent a lot of time with, just to honor them and tell them. One guy phones me up immediately and says, I want you to know, I don't know if this means anything to you, but it resonates in my spirit. I really believe that this is of the Lord. You know how much that supports me and helps me, and no matter how many dreams Matty and I had, this is the season we have to go through, no matter how many confirmations we have, it's so nice when someone that prays for you goes, yes. Have you noticed that you'll have your friends and you'll all be praying for that awesome husband to come, and this guy comes in your life, and all your friends that have been praying for you and with you say no, and then you know they're jealous. They've been praying 2 years. They're already over praying for you. Yeah, you're all married, so you won't understand. Like, you think it's, you know what I'm saying? Their spirit says no, but suddenly you're just going, yes. Test all things. If a prophet, listen very carefully, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, not a word, a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells comes to pass, right, it actually happens. And if he says, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Many prophecies that come into the church of Jesus Christ is just there to test if you love God or not. Do you love the word of God or do you love yourself? More than the word of God. That's it. If the word does not correlate with the word of God, run. If that word does not minister to you in that place, let me tell you, if it's a prophetic word, it should scare you. That's how you know it's from God most of the time, because you're going to go, woe is me at that moment. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the major prophets, they are, woe is me, I'm too young, Lord, I can't do this, Lord. I'm not eloquent in speech, Lord. This is too big for me, but not as in, hey, this is too big for me. It must bring an absolute surrender and humility. A moment of undoneness, knowing that you can't do it in your own strength whatsoever. Let's move on. This is an ouch word. It's not about the prophecy, it's about loving God. So, test your word. God's word confirms the word. Test. In other words, prove. Another word we should use there is prove. With fair trade, who's heard of fair trade? You all heard of fair trade, right? So to get a fair trade sticker, you need a third party to come and invest. So there's auditing firms, ethical auditing firms. I did ethical auditing. Feels like a lifetime ago. And we would go to farms similar as fair trade, and we would do those type of audits. But we don't work for fair trade. Because think about it, you pay money for fair trade to get that sticker, and they can just give you the sticker, right? They can be like South Africa's government sometimes, a little bit of this. Okay. So to ensure that no one's being unethical, you have a third party that comes in and tests to ensure that you can actually have that sticker. Make sense? All right? We need third parties because you're not a good third party for the prophecy of your own life. Look at Joseph. The brothers are going to bow down. You know what I'm saying? Told you I'm funky today. Yo, you're going to bow down. We test the prophetic with the written word, and then we check with believers. Part three, hold on to your word. So you've got this word, and it is from God. Man, I tell you guys, I've just been learning so much from Pastor Ross. It's been such a blessing to be working for him the last 2 years. Up there in the upper room, he every now and then he draws on, we've got chalk walls, and he draws the vision that God's given to him. And he puts it on the wall so he can see and remind himself. And then he prays about the words God's given him. I love that. He's holding on to the word. One, submit your word to the word of God. Then test your word and then hold on to your word. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them, what is them? The prophecies. You may wage the good warfare, holding faith as and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among them, Hymenaeus, Amadeus, how's that song go? Amadeus, oh my word. Okay, and Alexander, listen very carefully what Paul says here, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Apparently, rejecting the spoken word of God of your life is blasphemy. That makes sense, doesn't it, though? Rejecting the prophetic word of God, the utterance of God, the Holy Spirit that utters the prophetic. If you're rejecting it, you are blaspheming God. Do not quench the Spirit. So what does it say here? It says, hold to faith. Right? How do we keep a good conscience? By walking righteously. The more righteous we walk, the more we walk according to this, the cleaner our conscience. Have you ever had that moment that you made a mistake and your conscience just bugs you, you sinned in some sort of way? You're just bugged by it. And for most people, they look at you like, huh? When you walked out of a restaurant and you forgot to pay, but it was only a cup of coffee after all. You know, do I have to go all the way back? But it's just bugging you. Right? Walk with a clear conscience. I've seen so many shipwreck their faith in the walk that I've walked. See, if you leave this, the prophecies will not come true. Prophecies test your faith. Hold to the prophecy that you have faith and walk according to the word. Is that good? No? Okay. Thank you. Until what he, God, had said come to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Hold on to the word. The word of God tests your character. Prophecy tests your faith. The word of God tests your character. Prophecies test your faith. There is a promise for your life, whether you know the promise or don't know the promise. Let's look at what Uncle Jerry says. For the know the plans I have for you. We all know the scripture. We love to quote the scripture. Right? It's one of our favorite scriptures. And some will say, no. This is just a prophetic word for Israel. So this is a more prophetic word for the church. But if you look earlier in Jeremiah 1, God starts by saying, before I formed you, speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I don't have the scripture up. I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God had a plan for him. Before he's born, and Jerry is not that not that special. He's still Old Testament. In other words, we're all as special as Jeremiah. We're all sons and daughters. And that's why we can take hold of this prophetic word that God has a plan for your life. So whether someone has prayed that prayer over your life, whether you know it or don't know it, it has been spoken before time itself. God has planned for it. If Oprah Winfrey was standing on this stage right now, she'd go, you got a dream. Everybody gets a dream. There's a dream, a plan, and a purpose for your life. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
I hope those guys at home, that coffee's all over the bed now, and you're excited about amen. And don't flick the channel over to Oprah. We're coming to a close. Until you get to your destiny, the word of God will test you. Listen, we don't come to church for information. You're not here today to get information. You're here to receive revelation and to receive impartation. There's other reasons also, but that's a major reason that we're here. Therefore, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is the one thing the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit man right now? We are here today to receive impartation from the Holy Spirit. Something that will help us to stay on track or to get back on track. That's why we're here this morning. To help you reach the destination that God has for you. So what is that one thing the Holy Spirit is convicting and speaking to you today? And we're going to spend some time in prayer. For those of you that's online, we're going to go into breakout rooms. The link was sent out and should be sent out at the bottom now. If you want to zoom in and just pray with some believers and discuss this and pray for each other. And I know we need to do social distancing, so if you came with someone this morning, you guys can pray together. Husbands and wives can pray over each other. But let's really ask and stand in faith in this time that God comes and gives us a prophetic word. And in some of our grow groups, I'm going to be doing it with my grow group as well. Ross has already done it. Just to stand out and put out a little time of faith that we can prophesy over each other. That you can have those words that you hang on to. As Matthew and myself are going to go into a new season, we believe it's going to be a short season, but it's a season nonetheless where we need to just regather ourselves and really just spend time with the Lord. And I believe the Lord's already showing me that I'm going to need to spend a lot of time in prayer again. It's a time where I'm putting on my faith, and all I have is the prophetic words that God's given me. I've got the word of God that guides me, and the prophetic words that God has spoken over my life and Matthew's life and Alma's life and Michaela's life. And we hold on to those words, and we're going to remind God of those words as we seek Him for where we need to go next. As we take time to just recharge our batteries. And seek God. Can we stand together? Theos, please come up. And if you're at home, can I just ask that just take a holy moment as we pray, and you can start clicking already so you can join the Zoom group. And as we're worshiping, we're going to go into the Zoom group. But let's just pray together, and let's just welcome the spirit of prophecy in our lives. We really need direction. We need direction. We need to know what God's doing in our country and what God's doing in our community and what God's doing in our family. It's really the heart of the Holy Spirit to come and speak with us. Holy Spirit, we come and submit ourselves under you, and I thank you, Lord, that for everyone you are bringing a word. You've for some of us reminded us of words that's been given our lives, and as you recently reminded me a word that was given to me 2 years ago, Lord, I pray for those words that steer us in those hard times. When we lose our jobs and we lose a loved one and life gets real and we can't keep up with the payments and our marriage is in trouble and struggling with our kids and we have concern for loved ones, we have concern for friends, and it's those times we have to stand out in faith, Lord. And for some of us, there's just so little to hold on to, Lord. We don't have a word that directs us. It's kept Joseph hope in that prison, even though he was being absolutely brutally treated, Lord. He held on to the hope of the prophetic word of those dreams that you gave him. And I pray for a dream for every one of us. Everyone that's streaming in, everyone that's here this morning, I pray for a prophetic word for everyone. Spirit of prophecy, we welcome you in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can test those words and that which is of God will overcome and will come to pass, and that which is not will fall away. And thank you, Lord, that we can judge the word by the word of God, by your beautiful word that is complete, by fellow believers that walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we worship, those of you that just want to pray over each other, as you've come with someone, you want to pray for that person, pray. Let's stand and put out our faith together for those words, that God will really just come and meet with us and come and connect with us. Let's not allow social distancing stop us from a spiritual distancing. There's no distance in the spirit. So let's touch the heavenlies this morning. Let's touch God. Let's climb into the throne room of God. Let's walk into the Holy of Holies and say, here am I, Lord. I desire direction. I need to know where to go, Lord. What's the next few steps? Maybe you got a word. Lord, I bring this word before you. Simple word that was given to me by a person that I trust very dearly. is that I'm an arrow in the quiver, polished arrow waiting for the Lord to release. It's a simple word, yet so profound. The Lord just reminded me in this last week of that word and just spoke in my spirit again. There's the heart of the Lord to release me, to do what God's called me to do. And as much as He wants to release me, He wants to release all of us. So let us allow the Lord to take Him, take us out of His quiver, that polished, beautiful arrow, Isaiah, and that we'll be hidden in His hand and He can just release to fulfill His purpose. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.